We deployed in 2003. We were in the same unit. And she ripped bombs apart by hand in Iraq just like I did. There was no being scared, no doubt, no, I might die. We never talked about that. But she died on a incident that I sent her on. That night, she was at a different base, and I tried to talk to her on the phone before she went just to tell her, like, an extra be careful. But she was already on her way to take care of it, so I didn't get to. Her wounds were severe. One leg was blown off, and she was in a medically induced coma when I got to the hospital. I talked to her the whole time she was in there. The nurses were telling me to talk to her because they assured me that they had seen people come out of comas before and that they remembered hearing things that people said. I mean, what are you going to tell your wife who's dying? That you love her and you don't want her to die. But I knew she was dead a long time before the doctors stopped working on her. You hold someone's hand and then it feels different. I called her parents. You know, I didn't want it to be a stranger knocking on the door in an army suit. I told them that she died in my arms 10 minutes ago. She did something that most people weren't willing to do. And I don't want people to think that because she was killed while she was working, that she was bad at her job or that she died because she was a girl. She did the same job that guys who think they're tough do. And she did it just as good as I did, and I think I'm the best that there is. I got married to her when I was 25. Our plan was to retire from the Army. Now I'm 36, and I still don't have a plan. I am an Army widower. I don't think there's very many of us. And when I receive a condolence letter from a high-ranking government official that says, "Mrs. Volz, we're sorry for the loss of your husband," it just makes it seem like nobody knows we exist.
Why did you first contact me?
I was in a pretty dark spot at the time, and another bomb tech thought that talking to you would help, and it did.
I remember it took a while to get you to talk.
Yeah, then I wouldn't shut up.
I'm okay with that. I really just wanted to reach through the computer and hug you. I'm like, it's okay. Well, it's not okay, but it'll get better.
Yeah.
You do seem a lot happier.
I'm glad. I am. I mean, I'm always going to have the can't sleep and the nightmares. But basically, you have a gift of helping people who are depressed. Where does your attitude come from?
When I was young, I was very soft. I cried a lot. And right after high school, I was engaged, and his mom pulled me to the kitchen making dinner one day and was like, "Don't worry, Mary, I'm going to train you to be the perfect housewife." It scared the hell out of me. I was like, I joined the Army like a week later.
How were you injured? What happened?
We got a call for an IED that the Iraqi Army had picked up. So I got it in the truck, and I laid it down in there, and it started to roll off, and I went to grab it, and it detonated. I could hear this woman screaming and screaming. And then I realized that it was me.
What kind of stuff do you have to deal with on a daily basis because of your injuries?
I'll tell you, the worst part is I've never really liked being the center of attention.
And now you got a big sign on your forehead.
Yeah. But I have quite the collection of t-shirts. They say things like, "Worst drummer ever." I have one that's got a big thumbs up and it says, "Thumb wrestling champion." I guess the way I look at it is, yeah, I lost my arms. And I'm mostly deaf. My face is scarred to fuck. But all of that has led to some really amazing opportunities. And I've helped a lot of people. I don't know if I could lead a happier life now.